May I speak in the name of the living God, his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please take a seat. Well, with the exception of perhaps a chocolate-filled calendar at home, Advent doesn't feature for many, does it? And Christmas can't soon come enough for most people. The decorations are out as soon as the ads appear on TV, you know, around mid-September. Up goes the bling, lights on the house, the inflatable snowman, lit Father Christmases, snowflakes in windows, and Christmas carols are played everywhere we go. Well, perhaps just Last Christmas by Wham, which we're plagued with. We can't avoid it, can we? Signs of Christmas. Well, those are commercial signs of Christmas, of course. But for us, for followers of Jesus, it's the season of Advent right up to Christmas Eve. Christmas doesn't actually start. The Christmas season starts at Christmas. The world needs to catch up, I think. And there can be no better way of entering into the marvel of Christ's coming and living with God's promises for our future than a prayerful, purposeful, patient Advent journey. The Catholic Church summarizes Advent like this. When the Church celebrates the liturgy of Advent each year, she makes present the ancient expectancy of the Messiah. For by sharing in the long preparation for the Saviour's first coming, the faithful renew their ardent desire for his second coming. And so a double focus for us, perhaps, one on past, but also on future. Importantly, this time of the year symbolizes the spiritual journey of us as individuals, but also as a community, a family of believers. As we affirm Christ has come, that he is present in the world today, and that he will come again in power. And in a way, we're crossing boundaries of time, looking for signs of that coming again, sharing the anticipation of the arrival of our Lord and Saviour. And as we're able to celebrate the time of his earthly arrival as a baby, we need to consider carefully that there is more at play. It is now our faithful expectation of his coming arrival that should fill us with joy. But hang on a minute, if we go back to our gospel reading, there's not a lot of joy there, is there? Rather, we are faced with signs, yes, but signs that talk of destruction, distress, heavens being shaken, end of the world kind of stuff. Not exactly cheerful, is it? A real contrast to the tinsel, baubles, bright lights and screening of Elf on a Saturday afternoon we might settle down for. No, more a screening of Apocalypse Now. But as much as I recognised the signs and saw the more sombre side of Advent in this passage, we cannot ignore the signs, the shining jewels perhaps, the signs of expectation, of hope, of celebration and encouragement, pointers of how we must live our lives that just burst through the seams of those passages we've just heard. And whilst these verses might be shouting, forget about the Christmas trees, the baubles, the spending, the onslaught of turkey-based leftovers, there is something, I think, for us to hear and to learn. And, you know, as I thought about the commercial aspect of Christmas, I wondered what it might be like if we created some Christmas decorations from the words we've just heard. Now, I'm not sure they're going to be found in home bargains anytime soon, but here goes. Some new Christmas tree decorations. First up, a bolt of lightning. Bolt of lightning, good on any tree, I reckon. Representing the earth-shattering events, the signs mentioned in those passages. But also perhaps a reminder of what's going on around us. We only have to turn on the news or our news feeds to hear of destruction, war, unrest, people fleeing countries as a result of conflict, starvation, corruption, disaster, terrorist threats. They appear to keep coming and coming and coming, don't they? And I can't help but feel, as we stand and sit here this morning, we know it only too starkly with the events that happened last week in the Channel. 27 people, families, seeking to escape a life of terror, lost their lives. But yet, wasn't this foretold by Jesus? In Matthew's gospel, he said, "And you will hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, for the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this is but the beginning of birth pangs." And these birth pangs that Jesus talks of are what will usher in the new creation, the regeneration, new heaven, new earth. So yes, end times as we know it, but also the deliverance of the promise that awaits, the hope of peace on earth. Should we be fearful of this? Well, clearly the disciples were being told not to be. In fact, they were told that their reaction should be exactly the opposite. They were told that they should raise up their heads. As their final deliverance, their redemption would be at hand. In other words, what they had long been waiting for, their hopes would be realized. And so perhaps we should heed these words and stand with our heads held high. But, and of course there is a cautionary note, we should also remember that there is more to follow. And in all of that, we need to stand firm in our faith, knowing that the return will usher in a new time, an arrival promised and anticipated greatly 2,000 years ago, an arrival both promised and expected now. Tree decoration number two, a cloud, a cloud. I mean, let's face it, in that reading, it sounds like a bit of a fantasy, doesn't it, really? Jesus coming down on a cloud. Although, as some scholars would say, this is a reference to the ascension of Jesus when he was taken up. And I would agree and possibly argue that this is what we should expect. After all, it's something extraordinary, not of this world. It's supernatural, beyond our understanding. Something then that would have the power to redeem us. So why not a cloud? Don't we hear of other references in the Bible? Hosts and armies of angels, the blaring of trumpets. Well, come on, it is the return of our King. So is that really so much of a fantasy? And so, yes, as I looked at my bookshelf the other day, I thought about book three in the Gospel of, according to Tolkien, The Return of the King. Conveniently, the title kind of tells us what will happen. So, did I not buy the third book when I was browsing the bookshelves, thinking I know what's going to happen, it's all going to be all right, I'll give it a miss? Of course I didn't. And perhaps as we look at that, we consider Jesus as King. Yes, we know he will return. We are told that. It's an assurance. It's a promise. But does it mean we should just sit back and enjoy the ride? Just anticipate the party that will come? No. It's an invitation to be involved in the story, to be active in our waiting, to be prepared, to be ready, which kind of leads me on to my next Christmas tree ornament, which is a t-shirt with the slogan, "Jesus is coming, look busy." I'm sure a slogan you may have heard before, most often quoted in relation to the justice and judgment that will come along with Jesus's arrival. Although quite how looking busy would slip under his radar. The radar of our sovereign king is beyond me. After all, he knows the number of hairs on our heads and knows our thoughts from afar. So I'm pretty sure he'll also know whether we've actually been busy or whether we've just been making ourselves look busy. And let's be careful. This isn't to say that we all need to be doing more. We need to be busier than we might already be. I know that many of you already spend time with others in our communities, with those who are sick, with those who are isolated, with those who are lonely, with those who are marginalised, by providing flowers, cleaning the church, supporting initiatives, building community bridges. But it does ask us a question, I think, about perhaps the other things we might get involved in. How we might reach out in other ways. In fact, maybe it makes us think about how we're building God's kingdom as we patiently wait for the return of our King. Are we announcing God's kingdom enough to those around us? Are we noticing where God is at work? And so, yes, a kingdom should go on our tree, to represent the kingdom work that we are involved in and the work that will come as we grow our worshipping communities in our parishes, because they will grow. This is God's kingdom, not ours. And don't we get glimpses of God's kingdom, perhaps in some of the initiatives we've been launching in these last couple of months? Let's Play is one fine example. Whitfield started with 7 families. The following week, there were 14. Last week, there were what, 23, Sarah? Isn't that great? We are seeing God move in our communities. And some of the things that we will notice and see and have to do will be uncomfortable because it will require change. Some of it will be painful as we realise that some of the things that we've long held on to we need to end. Some of it will be exciting as we get in step with God and what he's doing. Because we must remember, it's God's kingdom, not ours. And we must catch his vision for our communities and those we work with. And talking about catching vision, perhaps we should put some of these on our tree. A set of binoculars. Our passage tells us to be watchful, to look out so that we don't miss the signs. You know, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, the reference that they would have heard would have been to the Roman guards that were watching 24/7 for signs of trouble, ready to act, ready to step in, ready to do something. And that is how we need to live our lives. Alert, watchful, prepared, prayerful, ready to act, but also patiently. Not a virtue I'm blessed with at times, let me be honest. Because watchfulness can be tedious, can't it? But watch we must. Because Jesus will come again, and I don't know about you, but I certainly want to be ready. But of course, we must wait. Excuse me. We must wait. Let's be honest, nobody likes to wait, do they? Although, interestingly, in this country, I think we've made it almost a national pastime. Waiting can be boring, and waiting often leads to tension, especially if you happen to be at the Whitfield roundabout when McDonald's is spilling out over into the village. I'm sure we've all been in a queue and raised an eyebrow or muttered under our breath when somebody's pushed in, and we see people getting agitated or upset. But we need to wait, and we need to do so patiently and also compassionately. And it may mean sometimes giving up our space to somebody else by putting somebody else first. And this wait perhaps also represents what's mentioned in our reading about our hearts being weighed down by the anxieties of life. If we worry, don't we feel burdened? Don't we feel anxious? So I would urge you to focus on God in this season of Advent. Jesus calls us to struggle against things that weigh us down by looking for what God is doing in us and around us. A microscope. I'm not sure that'll take off at Home Bargains, but a microscope. A reminder to always be looking inwardly, to keep a check on how we are doing, to watch our own hearts. Didn't we hear Luke telling us, guard our hearts against dissipation, drunkenness, and the worries of life? And perhaps we could take a literal meaning from that and maybe take it a little bit easy with the sherry or Prosecco over Christmas. But it also reminds us about things being in their rightful place. So perhaps maybe we could replace the word dissipation with overindulgence or greed. And perhaps replace the word drunkenness with consumerism, materialism, the need for stuff. And so maybe there is a caution here, one timely given at a time when our TV, newspapers, Facebook feeds assault us hour by hour, telling us to buy the latest, shiny, newest, bestest things for our loved ones. Perhaps we need to stop for a moment and think about our motives. By the way, this is not a get out for anyone to say, well, Sean said on Advent Sunday, I didn't need to buy you anything for Christmas this year, darling. What I am saying, though, is put stuff in its rightful place. Stuff or the thought of it should not own us or control us. And finally, my favourite, my Christmas jumper. I would have worn it, but I'm not particularly sure it would have gone with my cassock alb. But perhaps a reminder that during Advent we should clothe ourselves in Christ, to pray continually, to meet with God every day, to seek and pursue him, to notice where Christ is already at work around us. And yes, a jumper will keep me warm, but clothing ourselves in Christ every day will do so much more. So what does all this mean for us today, these signs as we head into Advent? Well, perhaps we need to decrease what is greedy, what is frantic consumerism, and instead pursue the increase of a simple, life-giving, sharing life together. Decrease what is fearful and of worry, and instead increase the life-giving compassion and generosity in a knowledge of the promise that we can hold on to. Decrease perhaps what is self-serving and inward-looking for the increase of life-giving truth, telling everyone of what will come with a life focused on Jesus. And yes, it may mean decreasing those things which are not fruitful, being honest about activities and things that we are doing or have done for years that are simply not working any longer. Perhaps pruning the tree and increasing those things that are life and kingdom building. Perhaps it's a call to put on that Christmas jumper every day, to clothe yourself in Christ, praying for the strength that we need. Perhaps it's about reminding ourselves that our lives and existence have meaning and possibility way beyond our present experiences. A hope that the limits of our lives are not nearly as narrow as we might think they are. God is a God of new things, and all things are possible in God. And so, as we journey through Advent towards Christmas, should we consider and reflect on who we really are and the only way in which we will receive and achieve the happiness we seek? Advent is a time for watching and waiting. waiting for the birth of Jesus at Christmas, waiting for Jesus to come again, to call the world to himself, watching for the signs of God's kingdom, listening and being open for what God calls us to do as members of our church and the wider communities that we are part of. Advent is perhaps also a time for us to consider how each one of us can make a real difference in the church, the parish, in this community, and our wider communities. How can we show God's love to one another and to everyone? Because God loves everyone, without beginning or end. And so, my prayer this Advent is that God will gather the people of our community, of this community of Coldred, together. That he will gather all peoples together as community. So can we be ready to welcome, to love, to offer warmth, care, and compassion? Together, let's be signs of hope, symbols of God's love, reflect God's joy, and, of course, his peace. And as we do that, let us be steadfast and faithful, regardless of what's going on in the world around us. Let's stand tall as God's righteous people, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, announcing God's kingdom to all who will hear and might see. Amen.